Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity to come to the retreat this weekend, and I want to pray that you give all of us open hearts and open minds as we hear these lessons, and that you particularly, Father, help me not to just ramble through this thing. I pray that you speak powerfully through all the speakers this weekend, and do some stirring in all of our hearts, God. We're here because we love you and we want to catch fire. We want to be passionate women for you. And I pray that you help help change that in us, Father. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So hello. Most of you know me, but if you don't, I will go ahead and just quick introduction. My name is Nicole. My husband and I work with the college students at Greater Alton Church, and that's where I became a Christian. That's where I was reached. I'm super passionate about that because it's such a formative time in people's lives when you're young, you know, and trying to decide who you want to be for the rest of your life, and then you decide that you're going to give your life to Christ. It's really inspiring, I guess, and encouraging, and so I love working with the college students, and, it's a good time. So anyway, I guess today might be a little all over the place, and I apologize for that. I'm going to try really hard not to ramble too much, but I have like so many thoughts and good things, but I was having trouble like organizing it. So if I'm all over the place and you have a question, please feel free to ask me later. But I did want to show you, just because I thought it was cool, and my husband had it, but I didn't get any of this out. I should be more prepared. So we're talking about starting a fire, right? And have any of you guys ever started a fire, like on your own? Anybody? Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't know that I have. I mean, maybe like with a match and, that kind of thing. But not like out in the woods to help me be warm. He gave me this to show you guys. So this was his fire starting kit. It's just some like tinder and some dryer lint. Apparently it's super flammable, in case you ever needed to know that. It's got a lighter in here too, obviously, but he would put this in his backpack when he would go. They go like hiking and camping, some of the guys do, and so that was in there. But then he got this, which is it's called Light My Fire. It's a knife with a like fire starter in the, so I'm really not, but he told me to do this and then pull it out like that. Okay, see, that wasn't that bad. So in the handle here, you've got, isn't this called a flint or something like that?
Yeah.
One of those things. So let's set this all down. Let's see if I can do it. I did it last night in our bathroom, so I'm assuming I won't start a fire here just because it's just a spark, right? That's pretty easy. So, you just kind of rub the back of the blade on this thing, and it starts, and it's got a spark. So I know there's all sorts of ways to start fires, and he was telling me all these different like survival, he watches those survival shows and all these different methods you can use. If you don't have this, then you can do this. If you don't have this, you can do this. And it's really interesting, and really there's a lot of ways to start fires when we're talking about what we're talking about here this weekend, right? Being on fire for God, being passionate and super in love with Him, and what did Susan say? Having the presence of God in our hearts. We want to spread that to other people. We want, I have that. I want everybody around me to have that as well. I want everyone around me to have the presence of God in their lives and in their hearts. So that's why you're here, because you want to do that too. You want to be a fire starter. So how can we ensure that we can do that? How do we become that? The first point is to really make sure you're on fire yourself, right? We've sort of talked about that already today, and that's why in my description I didn't put a lot about how to be on fire. We're not really going to talk about that in this class. Hopefully we're learning that from the other two lessons or that we've already heard, and maybe you already are. You know how to be on fire. We know that to be on fire, we need to be in prayer, praying a lot to God, right, in connection with Him through prayer. We need to be studying His scriptures daily and getting to know Him better, becoming more in love with Him by getting to know Him better, that sort of thing. We need, like I said, growing more fully reliant on Him. And if you're not sure if you are on fire, you can maybe ask yourself. I have a couple questions you can ask yourself. Do I have a passionate love for God and others around me? Do I love others passionately around me too? Do I obey the scriptures? Do you find it hard to like just do what God says, or is that pretty convicting on its own? When God says to do something, you're like, yeah, I need to do that. Or do you strive for unity with God and with your brothers and sisters in the church? And if you can pretty much say, yeah, pretty much I do that, you know, then you probably are on your way to being on fire for God. You are, but if you don't, then maybe you need to look at that again. And if you're not, if you're like, oh, I'm not really on fire, maybe I shouldn't be in this class, that's okay. You can change today. You can be on fire for God today and then use the things that we talk about today to help share that in others' lives. So, I mean, it's not okay. We do need to change and be, you know, and grow to know God and develop that passion and that love for Him. But we can change. It's not something that, like Susan said, I'm so great. You know, both of you might have touched on it. We can change today. Like today, it's not based on our circumstances. You don't have to be young to be on fire, you know, or to be enthusiastic for God, right? You don't have, but you can be older and do that. You don't have to be well, you know, you can be sick and do that and be on fire for God. You can be poor and be on fire for God. You can be rich and be on fire for God. You know, our circumstances don't really define whether or not we can be on fire for Him. So the first thing, to be a fire starter, we need to ensure that we ourselves are on fire. I have all these notes around here. Let's see. The second thing we need to do is to get rid of fear. So, like I said, this lesson's going to kind of ramble and be all over the place, but when I was thinking about it, I was like, yes, we need to be on fire. We need to get rid of the things that hold us back, and for me, it's fear. So that's why I'm talking about that. And then my third point, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now because of the way it's flowing, is that we need to love each other. We need to love one another. But it just is pretty, in my head, it's just really simple to keep it like that. Instead of telling you 101 ways to, like, you know, to start a fire, it really can be pretty simple. We need to get rid of all the fear, the things that hold us back from doing what God says and from really giving to others. I don't know if anybody else is like this. So, like I said, I work in campus ministry, so I am going to be 30 this year, and I feel really, I'm feeling a certain type of way about it, as the campus, that's what the campus girls say. They say, I'm feeling a certain type of way about this, or they say, this person flamed me. They talk about flaming means they, like, gave me a hard time, and they, you know, they kind of run me through the ringer. You know, that those are the terms they use, and I am almost 30 trying to talk like an 18-year-old. You know, like that. Those are the thoughts that go through my head. Is these are the people that I spend the most time with. These are my friends. These are, you know, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, and kind of the whole thought of like who you spend your time with is who you become. Spend time with the wise, become wise, that sort of thing. And I spend time with, you know, like I said, young college girls. So I have to really. Sometimes I struggle with that. I struggle with feeling like the old lady, feeling like they're going to make fun of me for all the silly things I do. And they might, and they do, probably.
But, we're
going to
make fun of you for feeling like an old lady.
Yeah. Oh, man, what did I do last time? I called people old or something. So I got to really be careful because I know I offended some people last time talking about older people or something. I don't remember. It just popped in my head again. But, yeah. That's right. But I have to get rid of that fear. Get over myself, basically. You know, yes, I'm almost 30, but that doesn't keep me from being able to have relationships with these younger people. That doesn't, you know, but sometimes in my mind I let it. So 1 John 4 says, where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. You know, when I think about what keeps me from, you know, yeah, I already said that. What keeps me from sharing my passion is that fear. I want to protect myself or my image sometimes. Like, I actually was just joking with Morgan, who most of you guys know, who's in the campus ministry, and she always jokes with me about, I know she doesn't think I think I'm perfect, but she, like, calls me perfect, I guess, is the way to put it. And she's like, oh, you better fold that blanket right, you know, gotta fix it right for Nicole's house or something. You know, she gives me a really hard time about it. And I feel really cruddy when she does that because I know I'm not perfect and I don't want to be. But, you know, just the way kind of, I guess, sometimes younger people view you, you know, can be difficult. Or maybe if you're younger, and the way older people view you, you know, you want to come across as mature, you know, you want to come across like you know things, like, that maybe you don't really know. So maybe you're fearful of, you know, looking too young or too immature. I'm fearful of looking too, I guess, old or mature, like I've got it all together when I know I don't. I'm actually, they kind of can sometimes make fun of people who care too much, too. Some of these young girls that I work with, these college girls, like, oh, she's being extra. Like, she's always trying to talk to me. She's always trying to, like, see what's wrong with me. And she's always, like, you know, sliding in my DMs, your direct messaging. You guys know what this is? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, so being afraid of looking like you care too much, honestly, that's something that I'm like, oh, am I bothering her? Am I bugging her? Am I just too into? So I have to get over those things. Maybe for you it's looking like you care too little. You know, like, you got to kind of, like, this is what I'm sharing about me, but you've got to think about what it is for you that holds you back, you know? Is there anything anybody would want to share, just to kind of break up my talking? Anybody? What you think holds you back from loving others? No? You don't have to.
Rejection.
Yes, that's actually my very, I was just about to say rejection. So you're speaking to my mind. Yeah, absolutely. And so for me, that's like fear that, like, my efforts won't be received well, or that maybe they won't want a relationship with me. If I try too hard, then they're going to, like, just push back and really, or maybe if I'm really real about how much I love God and I want, you know, I also have a job. I work at Lewis and Clark, and sometimes I'm scared and fearful of sharing with them, my coworkers, the people that are more my peers and older. You know, I'm afraid that if they see how committed I am, they're going to think I'm too religious and I'm like that weird, you know, they'll make fun of me because I hear how they talk about other people that they don't like, you know, and that they think are weird or whatever. And I'm like, oh, they're going to talk about me like that because I'm super committed to my, you know, and I get afraid of that, and that holds me back from sharing that. They might, you know, like I said, they might not open up or want me in their life anymore. So my verse for that is Matthew 6:34. Do not worry. Why worry? I mean, we know that it goes, the verse talks about a lot of different things, clothing and stuff, not worrying for maybe some needs, but I think it applies here too. I also think, I was talking to some of my friends about this lesson, and I think that some things that they mention that hold them back or that they see holding other women back maybe is laziness. And I really think it comes down to like a fear of like losing that comfort that you may have. Maybe it is laziness, but I do think sometimes it can kind of even fit into the fear category of like if I like step out on this limb and tell this person that I'll help them with, you know, I'll help this girl with whatever it is. I'm going to help my friends with this. And but then that means I might not have time to do this when I get home. I might not have time to spend with my kids, and I might not have time to finish this project that I'm working on. I really don't want to. I want my time for me, too. You know, I don't want to lose out on that. And maybe, you know, and that boils down to selfishness, right? And really a lot of this fear does, too. You know, when we're afraid of rejection, when we're afraid of how people are going to view us, you know, that boils down to we're afraid of looking a certain way and how we're going to be viewed. And when we're trying to protect ourselves, you know, fear can sort of be when we prevent ourselves from doing something because of fear, we're trying to protect ourselves, and that is the opposite of love. When we're just worried about ourselves, like, that really is, actually, I want to say my good friend Stephanie Gill taught me that, you know, like, self-protection is the opposite of love. Not, you know, hating somebody, but, you know, kind of being too much about yourself, you know, worrying too much of yourself is the opposite of love. So that leads me into my next point that I just told you about already, that to spread our passion and fire for the Lord, we've got to love one another. And that's where I really want to spend the bulk of our time. I just was really convicted as I was reading through verses that's what it really all comes down to, and that's what I wanted to spend the most of my time talking about, is that we've got to love each other. We've got to love each other like we've never have before. And I don't know, maybe you guys are really good lovers and you're just here to gloat, you know, sit back and gloat. But for me, I feel like we all have to do better. We all have to love each other better and more fiercely, more abundantly, without fear, without giving up, without being turned off if somebody doesn't receive it well. We've got to spread that love. And that is what, to me, spreading a passion and fire for God really looks like, is when we're really loving each other with no inhibitions, nothing holding us back, just giving to others, sacrificing. That's what, to me, shows that somebody is on fire for God. When I see somebody on fire for God, I see them loving others like there's no tomorrow. And that's what impacts me. It had an impact on me, and that's why, you know, I wanted to become a Christian, is because I saw other Christians loving other Christians, and particularly Christian women. Because don't we know that women have a rep for being kind of rude to one another, you know, and they can't get along with one another. We've got issues, apparently. And so when we really get rid of all that and love one another and get over that stuff, then it shines so brightly. That fire is so intriguing to the world. They're like, I have got to know more about that. I want to know why is that person different? Why are they able to love this, you know, that other person that way? And it's what not only spreads fire to those in the church, but to the lost as well. We can really share God with the lost when we love each other well. So how much of that point did I step on in my little, let's see, where are we at now? So so we love God so much, we want to love each other. And that's actually, so if we say we love God and we want to show him that, like, how do you show God that you love him, that you're on fire for him and passionate for him? And do you want to?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, it was really hard for me. I grew up in a really critical home.
Yes.
And, you know, the one thing I thought it was I am never going to be like that. I hate that. And then I turn around and be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody held me to a standard all the time that I could never hold up to. And it really kept me from loving people, you know. And the other thing it did was kept me from letting people know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying so hard to put on this perfect persona because I thought if I was good enough, you know, maybe I could be lovable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then come to find out that, you know, really, I might think, you know, you hear something somebody did and you go, oh my God, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done all those things, you know. And I think, you know, just being able to put that totally aside and say, you know, I was thinking when I was hurting, when I was doing wrong, I didn't need one person to tell me I did wrong. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But what stood out to me was when somebody loved me even knowing my wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that to me is when we really find out if we love people or we just say we love people.
Exactly.
Because truthfully, you know, and it's hard for me when I see somebody doing the mistakes that I made.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I want to save them. I want to jump in. The truth is, they don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
They need somebody to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, I don't know anybody else, but for me, the hard part is coming from that critical thing that I thought I would never do, and then ended up doing it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, I think, boils down to, you know, does. When you feel loved by God.
Yeah.
I mean, how else can you do it?
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
You know that God loves you, while does he love you more than that other person? No. It's insane.
Yeah.
But how are other people going to see it?
Yeah.
The only way sometimes people see it is when we show love to one another.
That's
when somebody says a terrible sin and we don't go, oh my God.
Absolutely.
You know, we just go, oh my God. God loves you anyway. Yeah. God loves you anyway.
Absolutely. You want to finish? Just here. I'm right there with you. I completely agree with everything. You know, like, for me, it is, you know, that was the biggest thing, knowing that somebody could love me, like, know me deeply and still love me, you know, all the ugly parts of me and still love me. And this is a point later, but I'm just going to say it now. I think I was thinking about myself and my love for others, and, you know, when preparing this lesson, it was super challenging, and I was thinking about some people that I know in the campus ministry that sometimes I get that thought of, like, well, they kind of put themselves in that position, like, and so I'm going to love them, like, I'm going to be nice to them is what I'm really thinking in my head. Like, oh, I love them, I'm nice to them, but I'm not really loving them, you know, like, I'm not really going out of my way to help and serve them, or I'm not sacrificing for them, I'm not looking for ways, you know, to help improve their situation. I'm, in a sense, judging them and saying, well, you got yourself there, hopefully you can get yourself out, and maybe I'll, you know, I usually do pray for them, you know, I'm making myself sound really bad, but, I mean, that in my head, sometimes internally, that's what I think, and, you know, I was talking to Mary Napoli, if any of you guys know her, has been staying with us for a month or so, and I was talking to her about how we were loving some other people in our ministry, and she was helping point that out, how there's ways we can help others. You know, maybe it's somebody who doesn't have a job, you know, and they need help paying some bills, and again, maybe they need maybe they need to get a job. Sure, yeah, you know, they do. But does that mean that that prevents me from being able to love them, or that I need to hold back my love because they got themselves in that situation, or they're not maybe, you know, doing what they need to do to get a job? You know, that doesn't mean that I'm free of responsibility from loving them. I still need to love that person. Like, that's still my job as a disciple, as somebody who loves God. I need to love others. And I was challenged deeply on that. I felt I was like, you know, I do. I guess it is judgment. Maybe somebody can help me figure that out later. you know, I just kind of decide, you know, well, and maybe they'll figure it out, or, you know, I kind of withhold that love from them at times, and maybe you can relate. Maybe there's something like that with you. So let me see if I can get back on track here a little bit and just make sure I don't miss any of the good things that I found to share with you guys about loving each other. 1 John 4, verse 19, it says, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So that, at the beginning of this point, that's sort of what I was thinking about, is if I love God so much, how do I show him that? And sometimes, I don't know if you guys think about that, that sounds like a really easy question. How do I show that I love God? How do I show God that I love him? And what he asks us to do is to love each other. That's how we'll show him that we love him, is when we love each other. And we know that that the Bible talks about kind of giving first preference to those that are in the family of God, that, you know, we need to love each other first, right? Because you know, when I'm loving somebody in the family of God, that's only going to improve my chances of reaching somebody lost, somebody that doesn't know God, because they're going to see that in us. If I'm focused, and not that we don't need to focus on loving the lost, because we really, really do. We've got to love people that don't know God so that they can know him. But when we just focus on that, on loving the lost, and we have these awful relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ, it ruins. You're almost doing more harm than good. We're ruining his name in a way, you know, when we're showing that we can't even love each other, but yet we're trying to love them. They're going to see right through that way more than we do. If we think we cover it up good, we probably don't. They're going to see right through that, and we need to work on that. You know, we need to reconcile with one another. I have here, let me see, I said, I do think a lot of us want to be better at loving. You know, I see a lot of, like, desire and want to be better. But I also see that, like I talked about my self-protection and my my fear of rejection. I do see a lot of that in other people too, and that getting in our way. And I think I see that laziness too. And we sometimes, you know, we'll see somebody in need, right? We'll see, like we talked about, we'll see somebody that needs help, and we'll think about helping, but we don't. We'll say, you know, like, I want to be closer to my friend Sarah, but I'm not really sure how to go about it, so I just don't. You know, I let that laziness, like, get in the way, and I don't do it. Maybe we see a new mom struggling, and we know that we could help, and we could, you know, even just offer a word of encouragement, and or pray for her, or, you know, take her kid for a morning, you know, something. But we don't, because we don't want to butt in. We don't want to seem like we're too, you know, I don't know, in her business, or trying to imply that she doesn't know what she's doing. Maybe we see a girlfriend, like, in with a really bad dude, like a really bad guy, and we're like, oh, but I know I can't say anything, because then maybe our friendship will change, or maybe she'll be mad at me, so we don't say anything, and that's unloving. That's not loving, you know. That's preventing all of these situations, prevent us from sharing our fire and our passion for God with somebody else. You know, when we kind of take that step, get up, go out on a limb, do something to love somebody else, we're able to spread that fire for God. Let's see. I already kind of said this. When we see people in sin and don't say anything, when you know you could help cover a friend's bill, like I was talking about, I know somebody that needs a job. I know he doesn't have a lot of money, and I could help him, you know, and maybe I just, like I said, decided he got himself there. I need to love that person. I need to offer to give him a ride. I need to offer to you know, help him maybe with this cost of his lunch, you know, because we're going out trying to reach out to this person, you know, and I can help, you know, and I want this guy to come with us, you know, and be a part of that. I can offer to pay for his lunch because I can do that. It's not, you know, that I can sacrifice that money. It's worth it, that sort of thing. So yeah, like I said, we need to really like get up and start getting involved in each other's lives. And that's to me like the biggest, and I know that it might sound like a big task, you know, we've got to love everybody. We've got to really like get out and do. And you know, sometimes we don't maybe feel like we do have a lot of time, or maybe we are ill and we can't go and do a lot of things. But there are still, there are plenty of ways and things that you can do, maybe if you can't physically go somewhere. But I'm talking about just, maybe my words are not coming to me, but the action behind the love, you know, not just thinking about somebody and praying for them. And yes, that's important, but trying to do for somebody else, whether it's, well, let's see what I have here. Yeah, we need to act on our love by doing what we can with what's right in front of us. You know, we're taught by Scripture to handle what we have in front of us today. You know, not to worry about tomorrow, but just what's in front of us today. And how can I love better today, love more today? and there's only so many people that you're going to be able to cross paths with, so many people that you could call and offer an encouraging, you know, message to. There's only so many people you could, you know, text or maybe have lunch with. There's only so many hours in a day. I don't think God is asking you to be superhuman. I'm not asking you to be superhuman. I'm just asking that we really get serious about loving one another and intentional. And, you know, like we had said yesterday, we're not going to trust God. Or not yesterday. You said it in your lesson right before this. Again, I'm rambling. That we're not going to trust God on accident. We're not going to love people accidentally either. It's something that you have to really think about. And for me, I'm also, I guess I could say a young mom, because I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old. So I totally understand feeling like you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. Because I feel that way a lot. Not that I feel trapped, that sounds bad. I don't feel that way. I just feel that it's sometimes difficult to go out and do something for somebody else because, you know, that means I'm going to have to pack some kids in the car. There's nap times and feeding schedules and a lot of stuff to consider. And sometimes it can feel like a daunting task. But there are still ways for me to love others. And that, I think about the 5 love languages. I think about, you know, writing a note to somebody, you know, a card that just tells them you're thinking about them and tells them the special gifts you see that God's blessed them with. You know, sometimes people need to know specifics, not just, oh, hey, I'm thinking about you, I love you, I'm here for you, but like really take some time and think about that person, pray about that person. What is it that you see God's blessed them with, and help and encourage them, you know, and let them know that they are important and special to God. And that could start a fire in somebody, just knowing, oh, my friends see this in me. This is a strength of mine, and I need to use that for God. You know, we need to help point that out in other people's lives, because sometimes you don't really know, right, what you're good at, and your friends might not know like what God's blessed them with, and so it's important for us to help them figure that out. Like I said, writing a card, or if, you know, if it has to be a text message, that's okay too. But I am a traditionalist. I like a real book instead of a Kindle book. I like a card instead of a text. You know, I like that stuff. It, you know, something you can hold. I'm sentimental, you know. But really, if all you can do is a text, the text is great too. You know, somebody that's I've gotten so many, you know, good messages from friends through text that help really encourage me as well. So. What we talk about, words of affirmation would be that one, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, and gifts are ways you can love others. I know that sounds really, that's usually, the 5 love languages is usually talked about maybe in another way, but I was thinking about it for this lesson, and that some people feel loved in different ways, right? So maybe a text would mean a lot to me, but maybe to Sarah, she really wants that quality time with you. You know, you can help start a fire in a friend's life by just spending time with them. Especially if you're on fire for the Lord, you're going to spread that just by being near other people. And let's see, I'm kind of all over the place. So I'm trying to make sure I just didn't forget anything. Anything big, and I thought it might be nice if we spent some time maybe in pairs talking about friends that we could love better. So I have a list of, like I said, practical places to start. So if you guys wanted to do that, we could, you know, you could write this down. I want you to make a list of at least one person, but hopefully like 2 to 3 that you could help start a fire with. So maybe there's somebody that is real obvious, you know, obviously it could be a daughter or, you know, your best friend or a sister. But try and also think about maybe somebody that that the Holy Spirit has nudged you with before, but maybe you've just kind of thrown it to the back of your head. Because, you know, we all have, I don't know if you guys are like me, but I have those moments where I'm like, maybe I could really help that person, or maybe I could, you know, encourage that person. And then I get busy and distracted with life, and I go on, you know. So kind of make a list of a few of those people. And then I was looking at Matthew 25:35. It says, I was hungry and you gave me food. This is Jesus talking. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes and you gave me something to wear. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And that's another good place to start. You know, do you know anybody that's sick that could use some, you know, some encouragement and some fire from you? You know, do you know anybody that's lonely, that's in need, that needing shelter, friendship, clothes, other necessities? You know, is there any way you can help provide that? In prison. I always joke with Susan about how when I kind of moved over here, she was writing letters to people in prison, weren't you? I don't know if there are people everybody knows, but you were. And I remember thinking, like, way to go. Like, I remember thinking, it stirred something in me. Like, Susan really loves people because she is writing letters to these people in prison and really praying for, you know, these people who are otherwise off everybody else's minds, you know. I don't know a lot of people in prison. I don't think I've really known anybody in prison. But I think if I did, I would probably tend to forget about them. And the fact that she was remembering them and thinking of writing to them encouraged me, you know. And I was like, you know, she's really doing it. She's really loving people. And she started that fire in me. It's like, oh, she's loving people. She's being a fire. And that encouraged me. And so when I see this verse, you know, I was in prison and he visited me. And, you know, thinking of, you know, that's just a good place to start. If, you know, your list of people is only one person long, think of who in your life is sick, who in your life is in need, who in your life maybe is in prison or maybe needs some extra love. And then, you know, think about how you could love them. If you can't think of anything, think about those 5 love languages and think about, you know, is there some way I could spend time with them? Could I get them a gift? Could I write them a letter of encouragement? Could I serve them in any way? And just start there. Start with what we do know, you know, because there other ways will come, you know, other things will come into mind as you start loving other people better. And as we all kind of like catch on fire, you know, and start showing that love, you know, that's going to, it does spread. It does. Fire is catching, right? That's part of the Mockingjay stuff. fire does just catch really quickly. And when we really do love one another well, it does really spread fast. And it, you know, it could really make a huge impact on our church and on the lost in our community. Let's see. So if you would like to, I don't know how much time we have, but if you guys wouldn't mind, we could just pair up and maybe talk with a neighbor about pair up or 2s or 3s and talk about who you need to love better. And then we can pray in like 5 minutes for lunch. So, yeah. Do that for 5 minutes and then we'll pray and then we'll be done.